This week's Parshas B'Haloisecha, we know, starts off with the mitzvah of Hadlukas HaMenorah, lighting the menorah. And Rashi in the beginning of B'Haloisecha asks a question. Loma nismecha Parshas HaMenorah le Parshas HaNesiim. Why is the Parsha of the menorah, of the Hadlukas HaMenorah, placed straight after the Parsha of the Nesiim? We know Parshas Nusai, the last Pesikim and Parshas Nusai are all about the Karbunas which the 12 Nesiim brought every single day from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, brought for the next 12 days. So ask Rashi a question, what's the Kshaychas? Why is the Parshas HaMenorah placed straight afterwards? So what's the question? Because we know the menorah, the halachos of the menorah, already written in Parshas Tetzaveh. V'atetzaveh lecho, says there the Torah, the mitzvah lahalos netomid of the hadlukas hamenorah. So why is it being repeated again? Says Rashi, the answer is, because when Aaron HaKohen saw that the Nesiim all brought a korban, chol shedatoi shloi hoya imam b'chanikas hamizbeach. He was very upset that he wasn't able and his Shevet Levi did not bring a korban. So he was upset. Omaloi Kodesh Baruch Hu, said Rabbein Shem to Aaron HaKohen, don't be upset. Chayecho, I promise you, shalcho gedoyle mishalahem. Your portion, your lot, is a lot greater than everybody else. Why? Sha'ato madlik im native asaneiros. Because you are going to be the one to light, to prepare and to light the menorah. So therefore, yours is greater than all of theirs. So this says Rashi, that's why the Parsha of the Hadlukas HaMenorah is straight after the Parsha of Nesiim. Because Aaron HaKohen was upset. He wasn't, for some reason, allowed to bring the korban by the Chanukas HaMizbeach. So the Rabbi Shem, Aaron HaKohen, don't be upset. Your love is greater. The question is, which the Mefarshim ask, why was it greater? How do we see what makes the Hadlukas HaMenorah more important, greater than the Korbonos of the Nesiim by the Chanukas HaMizbeach? You know, it's such a great thing, you know, when you build a new shul, a new yeshiva, a new sem, whatever it should be, you make a Chanukas HaBayis, and one puts the mezuzah on the front door. It's a whole major thing. So here we're making a Chanukas HaMizbeach for the Mishkan, which is the to start off the inaugurating, the beginning of the Avodah Mishkan. Surely that must have been greater. Says Rashi, no. Aaron HaKohen, you're putting on the menorah, that's greater. So ask the Mefarshim, why is it greater? Why was it greater lighting the menorah than the Chanukas HaMizbeach? The Maharal, in his Sefer Nesivos Olam, quotes a very interesting medrash. There is a medrash where the medrash says that there was a machloikus between the chachomim about which posuk, as if one can say such a thing, which one posuk, says the medrash, is koilel yoisa, is the most encompassing of all the psikim in the Torah. Says the medrash as follows: Ben zoyma oima, motzini pusik koilel yoisa. We find one posuk which is more encompassing than any other pusik in the Torah, v'hi, and that is the pusik of Shema Yisroel, Hashem Elokeini, Hashem Echad. So we all understand that's a very, very important pusik. Says Ben Zoyma, that's the most all-encompassing pusik. Ben Nana Zoyma comes along, Ben Nanas, and he says, no, I think there's a different pusik. Motzini koilel yoisa, v'hi v'ahavato l'reyecho kamoicho. So again, we understand v'ahavato l'reyecho kamoicho is a totally different type of pusik to Shema Yisroel. Shema Yisroel is about Bein Odom l'mokim. But says Ben Anas, you can't forget about Bein Odom l'chaveira. Rabbi Kiva said, he called good b'toira. Says Ben Anas, I think v'ahavato l'reyecho kamoicho is the most all-encompassing. Comes along now the medrash and continues. Shimon ben Pazi Oimer, I disagree with both of them. I think there's a third pusik which is all encompassing. Mosini pusik koilo yoisa vihi, and which pusik is that? A pusik was written by the mitzvah of the korban tomid. Es hakeves ho echot tase ba boike, ves hakeves hasheini tase bein ho abayim. Says in the Torah, the korban tumen had to be brought one korban in the morning and one korban in the afternoon. Continues the Medrash, and the Medrash says, Halucha ke ben pazi. The halucha is like Shimon ben Pazi, dechsev, as it's written, Kachol hashan nimara oischo es tavnis hamishkon v'chein tasi. Rabbi Yisrael says, like the vision of the Mishkan, which I have showed you, v'chein tasi, and so you shall do. So therefore, says the Medrash, finishes off the Medrash, this is a raya, v'chein tasi, and so you shall do, refers to the mitzvah of the Avodas HaMishkan, which starts with the Tumid. So therefore we see that what Shimon ben Pazi said, that's the most all-encompassing pasuk. So ask the Maharal, what is this machloikas? What is the meaning of this machloikas? So he explains, as we can understand, was licked in the avoida of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lekeini, Hashem Echad, great Yisoidus, and similarly the pusik of Vahavta Recha Kamoich. But the third pusik, what's so important about this pusik, about the Korban Tumid, Es Hakeves Ha'echo Tasa Ba'boike, Ves Hakeves Hasheni Tasa Ben Aboyim, and that should be even somehow more encompassing, all encompassing, more than the other two psikim. So says the Maharal, the pshat is as follows. You want to know why this third pusik is the klal gudul b'tori yoisa? Rutzoloime, it means to say as follows. Ma shehu'udam oivid Hashem yisbruch besamidus hagome. That which a person serves Hashem constantly, without interruption. V'hi ovdoi, and he is serving the Rabbeinu Shloilem. K'moi shehu eved loisa avdisoi min udon shaloi. Just like a servant, you can never stop being a servant. If you stop being a servant, you're not a servant. A servant is a 24-hour day occupation. He ovdoi semidi. Says the Maharal, it's true, Tak, it could be that the avoid of Shema Yisrael, the avoid of Ahavta Recha Kamoicha, might be in certain ways greater. But we're not speaking about here what's greater, we're speaking what's koilel yoisa, what's more all-encompassing. You know what's more all-encompassing, says the Maharal? When a person does something day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you're constantly doing it the whole time, that is more all-encompassing. Serving Hashem besemidus, serving Hashem the entire time without interruption, that is more important and greater than a one-off action, which that one-off action might be something unbelievable, something amazing. But it doesn't compare to the small, day-to-day, constantly small actions which over time build up and become greater and greater and greater. We know Klal Yisrael is compared to a deer. As the Pusik says in Shir HaShirim, Doime Doidi Latzvi. Klal Yisrael is compared to a deer. Similarly, we know Eretz Yisrael is compared to a deer. It's called Eretz HaTzvi. What does this mean? Why is Etzel compared to Etzvi? And we are all familiar with the Mishnah in Masech Tesuvos, and the Torah quotes this in Orach Chaim, Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph. We know the Mishnah says, Heverotz Katzvi, Az Kanome, Giboy Kari, Lasus Tesoin, Ovini Sheba Shemayim. So the question is, we need to understand, as kanome, to be fierce like a leopard, I understand. Giboy kari, to be strong like a lion, I understand. But if we're looking for an animal, if we're looking for a mushel of something which runs fast, I don't think any of us would have chosen a deer. Have a rotz katzvi, you've got to run fast. You know, like who? Like a deer. There are many animals which run far faster than a deer. So why does the Mishnah tell us a person should always run like a tzvi? The deer runs, but there are many animals which can run faster. We all know a cheetah, for example, is the fastest running animal in the planet, can run 70 miles an hour. Well, a deer probably can't go more than about 30 or 40. So it's about half the speed. So why did Chazal choose the tzvi? However, the Gevaldig Yesod, which fits in with the words of the Maharal. You know, a cheetah which can run for 70 miles an hour, or a lion, a tiger, a leopard, or what should ever be, these animals are not capable of running for long distances. All they can do is they can do short bursts. A cheetah can run for a minute, perhaps a maximum 2 minutes, and then he's out of breath. And he can't run. We've all been to the zoo and you see the lion just lying there half asleep. Lions, tigers, all these animals are animals which, whatever, they are not running. When they want to catch a prey, they can make a great effort and they quickly can make a sprint and they can go very fast, faster than a deer. When Chazal said, have a rotz katzvi, the normal way of a deer is deer like to run, not just when they're being chased. Deer, when they go in the wild, their normal way of going is they are running. They can go very fast and they can go fast, but deer don't normally walk. Their walking is running. Tells us Chazal have a rotz katzvi. It's nishkan chokhma to run like a cheetah, like a tiger, for 1 minute or 2 minutes, and then afterwards you're out of breath and you've got collapsed in a heap and you're finished. This is nishkan chokhma. You know who you should run like? Like a tzvi. A tzvi is continually the whole time he's running. That's his normal mahalach. A person should always be a rotz katzvi, la'asos ratzoin ovini shebashamayim. Says the Maharal, there are people can do great things, gewaldige things, but it's a one-off action. And after 5 minutes, they go back to normal, or even less than normal. They think they've been yoitzer. I did my big thing, I've exerted myself, and they're finished. The other people, they don't do these massive big things, but their daily routine, get up on time, daven on time, they're always doing what they should be doing. Rotz katzvi, they're always rotz katzvi. This is the madrega. So says the Maharal, this is what Shimon ben Pazi taught us. There's one pusik which is koilel yoiser, which is greater than the other two psikim. Shema Yisrael, can't begin to fathom the greatness of what's licked in this pusik. V'havdrecha kamoicha, says Shimon Pazi, yeah. But that doesn't match to the daily avoid of yid. Tumid, that solution, tumid, besmidus, the whole time, continuously being oivad Hashem, that's the greatest madriga. Came the Chanukas HaMizbeach, all the Nesiim brought a korban the Chanukas HaMizbeach. Anna Koyen was upset. He was upset. He hadn't been asked to bring a korban. He was upset. Says Rabbi Nishum to Anna Koyen, Aaron, don't be upset. Shalchu gedoyla mishilahem, sha'ata madlik imaitivis haneiros. Your daily avoider, day in, day out, in the morning, in the afternoon, your daily avoider of hadlukas hamanoira, tuvis hamanoira, that is greater, that is more precious to me than the one-off major chanukas hamizbeach which the Nesiim bring. And with that we understand, has also answered the kasha which many mafoshim ask on Rashi. It says in the pusuk that Ana Koyim, when he lit the menorah, Vayas Kein Aharoin. Says Rashi, what does it mean, Vayas Kein Aharoin? Melamed Shaloi Shina. Ana Koyim did not change. Of course he didn't ask mafoshim. Of course he didn't change. Who would think Ana Koyim would change? What does Rashi have to tell us? Melamed Shaloi Shina. He never changed. Says the Chasam Sofer, you know, some people, they do something, and then sometimes they want to have a change. Says the Chasam Sofer, that the avoider of the Ketoiris was offered up at the same time as the Hadlukas HaMenorah. You couldn't do both. It was either one or the other. And we know Ketoiris has got a segila that it brings Ashiris. Whoever did the Ketoiris would become rich. So we can understand that there were lots of Kohanim very, very eager. They wanted once, twice in their lifetime to be Zoycha, to do the Ketores. Says the Chafon Sofer, Yas Kenahare Melamet Shloshina. Ana Kohen every single day put on the Menorah. That meant that he could never be Makte the Ketores then, because the Ketores came at the same time. It was either one or the other. Says Rashi, the greatness of an Akohen, he never said once, you know, I've been lighting the noise for the last 20 years, the last 30 years. Perhaps today I'll make a change. I'll be back to the Ketores for once. It's not a bad. So it's also a mitzvah, a greater mitzvah. So why shouldn't I? Actually, once, I don't have to like Menorah. Somebody else could like Menorah, and today I'll be Makhtik Torahs. Says the Chasam Sofer, no. The Boishim told down Akoyin, you light the Menorah, so Melamed Shloshina. Every single day, he lit the Menorah. This is Melamed Shloshina. Although he would have liked to do something else, could be. He understood this is his avoider, this is his tafkid, and this is his tachlis. Many times in life, people like to come along and they look for something else. If only I could for once be this person, that person, do this, do that. And what I'm doing is not so important. Oh, but the emes is nishtazoi. If this is your avoider, this is what's happened to come to your lot in life, so therefore this is what you should be doing. And Ana Kohen didn't make these cheshboinas. I'd be far better off if I could be makdik or toiras, do something else. Melamed shaloi shina. He was happy with his lot, and this is what he was makayim. There's another yisod which Reb Shimshon Rafal Hirsch writes, a gewaldig yisod. Writes Reb Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, and this is be'emes a continuation of the same concept. Says Reb Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, we don't find by the Menorah that the Torah uses the words hadlocha. We know the bracha which we make on Ner Shabbos, Ner Yom Tov, Ner Chanukah is lahadlik Ner Shabbos, lahadlik Neiris Chanukah. We make a bracha lahadlik. But in the Torah, we don't find use this word lahadlik. The Torah says bahaloisechu es haneiros. And similarly, says Reb Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, in Parshas Tetzaveh, the Torah uses the same term. Steht lahalois ne somid. Why does the Torah use this word, unusual word, lahalois, instead of lahadlik ne somid? That's what it's lahadlik. What's lahalois? So Rashi tells us here in Bahaloischa es haneiros, says Rashi, the pshat is shetahei hashalheves oile meoleo. That the Torah wants, it's not good enough merely just to light the menorah. The ik is, one has to light it in such a way, shahashalheves oile meoleo, that the flame should then go up by itself. This is the avoider. The avoider is shetahei hashalheves oile meoleo, should go by itself. Says Reb Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, this is a lesson for chinuch. We know ki ne mitzvah v'toira oil. The menorah ne is compared to Torah. If a person wants to be matzlich in Torah, the only way he can batzlich, it says Reb Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, when he gets to the madrega shahashalheves oile meoleho, that he's come to this madrega. Not that a person does something once, a big major thing, and the next day he gives up. It should be oile meoleho. Should be an avoider which is continuous. He should get there. He should be that it's continuing by itself. Not that this is a one-off action, a spontaneous one-off action, and then next day he's left with nothing. The avoid of the menorah is shahashalheves oile meoleo. And this is what we learn out, what the Rebbeinu Shem said to Ana Kohen, shalchu gedoile mishalahem. When a person comes to this madrega, hashalheves oile meoleo, that's the greatest madrega. The Nesim was a one-off thing. You, Ana Kohen, every single day you are lighting the menorah, hashalheves oile meoleo. We find later on in the Parsha, by the Parsha of when the Yidden complained about Nafsheini Kotsa Belechem Akaloikil, they complained about the Mon, and then tells us the Pusik, they didn't only merely complain about the Mon, they complained as well, says the Pusik, Vayishma Sa'om Boicha Lemishbechoisov, that the Yidden were crying and complaining le mishbechaysov, ish le pesach oloi. What does it mean, le mishbechaysov? Says Rashi, al iske mishpuchos, al aroyos hana esorois lehem. The Yidden in the Midbar were crying. They were crying after Kabbalah HaTorah. Why were they crying? Because suddenly they saw, they learnt in the Torah, you can't marry this one, and you can't marry that one, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, which before Kabbalah HaTorah they'd been allowed to. So therefore, they started to cry. Says the Pusik, Vayicha'af Hashem Ma'oid, Iva'ene Moshe Ra. The Rabbi Shem was very annoyed. And Moshe Rabbeinu was also very upset and distressed. We need to understand what was wrong. The Yidden received the Torah. It's true they said Na'aseh V'Nishma. But now, when they've opened the Torah and they see that this is forbidden, and that's forbidden, and before the Kabbalah HaTorah they were allowed to do these things, and now it's forbidden, they started crying. Oi, I wanted to marry this person and that person, and now I can't, and they're crying. What's so terrible? And we know there's a famous chazal. Chazal tell us, a person shouldn't say, I efshe babusa chaze. You know why I don't eat busa chaze? God, I don't like it, it's horrible. No, no, no. That's not how you should speak. So tell us, chazal, don't say that. So what should you say? Efshe, I'd like to. Really, I'd like to eat it. Avol mo esa, what can I do? For vinish v'shamayim, the our tata in himmel, the Rebbeinu Shem, was goyz on us and said, we're not allowed to eat it. So you know why I'm not eating it? Because as a Torah, the Rebbeinu Shem said. So I see very clearly from this chazal, there's nothing wrong with saying, I want to do this, but what can I do? The Torah says it's forbidden, I can't do it. And here, it doesn't say the Yidden did anything wrong. They wanted to. They wanted to marry this one. They wanted to marry that one. And they're not allowed to. And they're upset and they're crying. So, was it so gefährlich? Why was it so terrible? So the Mefarshim explain that the main tana was that they were crying. You know, sometimes we all want to do things in life that we're not allowed to. For example, you're going to go on a nice outing. You're going to go looking forward to a nice outing. And then the outing is cancelled. So of course everybody's disappointed, we're looking forward, it was very nice. But people are not going to start crying their eyes out. If you're crying their eyes out because you didn't go on the outing, it shows there's something much deeper here. You're not just merely crying that your outing was cancelled. Yes, I understand you're disappointed. Yes, I understand you're upset. But you're sitting there sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. Something a bit more to it. If they were crying, as I said, Sach Mefarshim, this shows not just merely that they were upset. You're entitled to be upset. This shows already almost an act of rebellion. So as I said, Mefarshim, I would like to explain this Yisod as follows. We have the Mishnah in the second Perek of Ovos, this week's Perek. The Mishnah says, Eizeh derech yeshura sheyuveloi ha'udam. What's the correct, the derech yeshura, that person should go on? Says the Mishnah, Kol shehi tif'eres lo'oiseho, v'tif'eres lo'i min ha'odam. So I want to focus on the first part. Kol shehi tif'eres lo'oiseho. Anything which brings glory, lo'oiseho. What does this mean? Says Rashi, shehi noyach lo'oiseho. It's easy for you to do. It's comfortable for you to do. It's geschmack for you to do. You know what's the derech hayosha in Yiddishkeit? If it's geschmack, if you're comfortable with it, if you feel at home with it, those are the derech hayosha. Reb Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer Igros Moshe and also in his Sefer Dorosh Moshe, and he used to say, it's a famous vort that Reb Moshe used to say. We know, unfortunately, the Yidden came to America before the Second World War and after the Second World War. And many Yidden, unfortunately, we know, came to America, although they'd been from in Europe, but unfortunately, their children in America didn't remain from, and they became fry. And why did this happen? Said Reb Moshe, you know why it happened? Because the children would see when their father came home Erev Shabbos, and he told his employer that tomorrow is Shabbos, and therefore he can't turn up for work. And the employer said to him, oh, if you're not coming tomorrow, you're fired. And the father would come home, Nebuch Ol Sabroch, and he just lost his job. And this would go on again and again, time after time. The father would come home depressed and say, oi, Sazoi Shved Sazan a Yid. It's so difficult to be a Yid. Look how difficult it is. And the children would see this, and the children would hear this again and again, and they grew up with this notion in their minds. It's difficult to be a yid. Nobody wants a difficult life. So if it's so difficult, I will work on Shabbos. And unfortunately, said Reb Moshe, this is what happened. So what should have been the Eitzah, says Reb Moshe? What should the father have done? Of course, nobody likes to lose a job. It's very difficult for anybody. One understands a person's upset, he loses a job. Rather, said Reb Moshe, when the father came home, he should have said to his children, look what a carbon I brought for Kedisha Shabbos. It's a small price to pay for being able to keep Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we're keeping Shabbos, and it's a small price to pay. The Hashivas of Shabbos. That's what he should have said, in such a way to bring out the Hashivas of Shabbos. We find in the Torah it's written, when Yaakov Avini wanted to marry Rachel, Lavan cheated him and he said to him, yeah, you can marry her, but you'll have to wait 7 years. And 7 years you're going to have to work hard labor. State in the Torah, Vayehi be'enav keyumim achudim ba'ahavusoy oisa. It was in Yaakov Avini's eyes, keyumim achudim, like a few days. Because of the great ahava which he had for Rachel. Ask the Mefarshim, Akasha, it's just the opposite. If you really want something and you're waiting for it today, tomorrow, and I tell you, you've got to wait a few months. It's a long, long time. If I tell you, you've got to wait a year, 2 years, 3 years, 7 years, it's lo ilam voed. So how can it be? Here the Torah tells us you have to wait 7 years to marry Rachel. It was like a few days. Why? It's just the opposite. In Yaakov Avini's eyes, to be worthy, to be able to marry Rachel, 7 years is a small price to pay. To get a wife like Rachel Imeni, 7 years is nothing. To marry Rachel Imeni, he was delighted. Delighted. 7 years to get Azar Tzadikas, Azar Ishak Kedoshav, like Rachel, was be'enav keyumim achudim. It was like a few days. So great did he look up to Rachel. It was a small price to pay. This is what Reb Moshe is telling us. Reb Moshe is telling, Avada, it's not easy for a person to lose a job. But it depends how you look at it. If you krech and you say, oi, of course, unfortunately, that's what's going to happen. If a person says it's a small price to pay for keeping Torah mitzvahs, then we'll understand the chashivas of Torah mitzvahs. The children will see this and they will grow up, not just chas v'shulam, put off, but just the opposite. They'll grow up with a new understanding and inspiration for Torah mitzvahs. Reb Chaim Kreizer, Zechon Levrucha, the Ruv of Antwerp, said he once had a meeting with a top nuclear physicist, scientist, a very, very great scientist who works for the American government. And in the middle, this scientist said to him, I'm sorry, I've got to run now, I've got to go and dive a mincha. And Kreizer was very impressed. He couldn't believe it. Normally, these type of top nuclear scientists, they're not showing a Torah mitzvahs. And this guy didn't look such a frum guy, not even sure if he was wearing a kapel. And suddenly says, I've got to run to daven mincha. So he said, I'm very impressed. How are you going to, to dropping everything to... He said, yeah, this is the chinuch I received in my father's home. He said, I will never forget. We were immigrants, we came to America. And my father lost his job again and again. And we couldn't pay the rent for our house. And one day we were literally evicted onto the street. The whole family, you know, parents with little children. And we didn't know where we're going to go, where we're going to sleep tonight. And my mother turned around to my father and said to my father, what's going to be? Where are we going? It's already getting dark. It wasn't the morning, it was in the evening, just before Nach. And the father said, I don't know. I can see it's getting dark. First thing is, I've got to daven mincha now. That's what's first. After I've daven mincha, then we'll think about where we go from here. But let me first daven mincha. And this man said to Rav Kreizer, I've got this etched in my mind, and I can never forget it. We'd just been evicted from our house. We're standing on the street with all our possessions, not knowing where are we going, where are we going to sleep tonight, are we going to have a roof over my head. My mother says to my father, what are we going to do? He says, I don't know, but first let me daven mincha. So he said, since that day, I have known the importance of mincha. What does it mean not to miss a mincha? And because of that, it doesn't matter where I go in the world, I will never ever miss davening a mincha. So this is what Rav Kreisitz said over. So you have the same story, a Yid Nebuch thrown out of his house, but that was an opportunity for his children to learn the importance of a mincha, to learn their Mesiras Nefesh. Here the Yidden were crying. Of course it was difficult. Nobody said it wasn't. It was difficult. Before Matan Torah, they could marry whoever they wanted. They could do whatever they wanted. Suddenly comes along Kabbul Satorah, and they didn't find out. This is forbidden, and that's forbidden. They should have been like Yaakov Avini. This is a small price to pay. It's a small price to pay when a person realizes Vus liegt in Torah and Yerushalayim, and how much he's gaining. We know Chazal Taka called Yiddishkeit an O. They call it a yoke. A yoke is not something easy. It's something which lying on the ox's neck. Oil Torah, oil Malchus. So it is difficult. Yet we see, we know Chazal tell us, Kol ha-makabel al atzmoy, oil Torah. Anybody who's makabel on upon himself, the oil Torah, ma'virim mimeni, ol malchus ve'ol derech eretz. The Rebbe Shem will remove from him all other difficulties, all other yokes, and he'll have an easy life when a person is keeping the Torah as it should be. Suddenly he'll see that the ol ha-Torah, which is an ol, makes actually life easier for him. There's a famous mushal from the Dubna Magid, a vort which he said to explain a pusik. And the Kotzke Rebbe said that this mushal is so brilliant, it can only have been said with Riach HaKodesh. There is a pusik in Yeshaya, Perek Mem Gimel, says the Rabbi Nishlam to Klal Yisrael as follows. V'loi oisi karusa Yaakov. Klal Yisrael, you haven't been calling me, says the Rabbi Nishloilam. Ki yogato bi Yisrael, because you are all worn out. That's what the Pusik says. Difficult to understand the meaning of this Pusik. Boishan says, you haven't been calling me. Loi oisi karusa Yaakov, ki yogato bi Yisrael. What does this mean? Zub the Dubna Magid, a gavaldiga mushal as follows. There was once a man who docked in a port on the ship. Ship came off the ship, he docked in the port. And the derech was, in the olden times, you would have all porters who would meet the ship. And they would take all the luggage and all the containers from the ship to wherever this person needed delivered in the town. So this businessman, he gets off the ship, and a porter walks over to him and he says, could I take your luggage and your possessions to wherever you need it? Yes, yes, I'm staying in this hotel on the 20th floor. Please deliver them there. Fine, okay. A few hours later, there's a knock on the door, and this man opens the door of his hotel room, and the porter is standing outside. He's absolutely dripping from sweat. He's red in the face. He's like, can hardly catch his breath. And he says, I want to be paid. I've schlepped all your peklach. The man takes one look at him and he says, sorry, you've schlepped somebody else's peklach. You haven't been carrying my peklach. He said, no, I brought your peklach. I brought all your boxes and things. He said, no, you haven't brought my possessions. You brought somebody else's. He said, how do you know? He says, I just take one look at you and I know that you haven't schlepped my peklach. All I had was one light bag. It doesn't weigh anything. I look at you, you're so out of breath. You're red in the face, you're perspiring, you're breathing heavily. You've been working very hard, schlepping very heavy boxes. Can't be mine, because mine don't weigh anything. If you're so out of breath, it shows you've schlepped the wrong peklach. Gezuk the Dubna Magid. As duzuk the Rabbi Shem to Klal Yisrael. V'loi oisi kurusa Yaakov. Klas, you haven't been calling me properly. You haven't been calling me correctly. How do I know? Ki yogato bi Yisrael. I can see you're all worn out. You're out of breath. You've got no koyach. So obviously you've been schlepping the wrong peklech. Because if you'd have been keeping the Torah mitzvahs properly, it's just the opposite. Pekidei Hashem yeshurim mesamchei lev. Torah Hashem tamimo meshivas nofesh. The Yid who keeps the Torah mitzvahs properly doesn't get out of breath from it. It's mafir mimeni old malchus v'ol derechez. It removes all other difficulties. So if you are out of breath, that's a simon. You've been schlepping somebody else's peklech. Says the boshim, you haven't been calling me properly. You're so out of breath, you've been calling somebody else. So this is what we learn in this week's parsha. If the Yidin were crying, and the entitled to be upset, but if they were crying and showing that they're not managing, this is a simon v'loy oisi karusa Yaakov. It's a simon you're not keeping the Torah properly. Because if you would be keeping the Torah properly, you'd be taka zoicha to this madrega eze usha hasameach bechelkoi. You wouldn't be upset, I can't marry this one and that one and do this and do that. The Torah itself would bring you the sipik. The Torah itself would bring you the feeling of accomplishment, of satisfaction, in a feeling of achieving what you want in life. So if you're still so worked up to the point of crying and sobbing, it's straight in the Torah, v'yicha af Hashem ma'oid, because it's a simon that we were not on the right madrega keeping the Torah properly. The Ochis Tzadikim writes a Moedik Elushin in Shah HaSimcha, kol ho'oise ha'mitzvus besimcha. Whoever keeps the mitzvahs besimcha, yesh lo scha elef yudois, yoise mimi shahamitzvois ulov lemasa. Whoever keeps the mitzvahs besimcha, says Ochas Tzadikim, will receive 1,000 times this amount of scha that somebody else who keeps the same identical mitzvah, but he does it without simcha. He does it just because he has to. Mitzvahs anushim melimuda. And this explains the mafoshim is the pshat in the Mishnah in Uvois. Hevezua b'mitzvah kala kebechamira. Be careful to fulfill a mitzvah kala, even a small mitzvah kebechamira, like a more important mitzvah. She'ein ato yodea matan schuron shemitzvahs, because you don't know the greatness of the schar of the mitzvahs. The chayyur asam afoshim, just the opposite. We're told this is a mitzvah kala and this is a mitzvah chamira. So obviously a little mitzvah, a small mitzvah, hasn't got so much schar as a big mitzvah, an important mitzvah. So what does the mitzvah say? Because you don't know the schar of the mitzvah, but I do know it's a little mitzvah, it's a big mitzvah. Obviously a little mitzvah is less schar. The answer is, says the Mishnah, hevezue. Because it's not just the mitzvah, it's the way you fulfill the mitzvah. A Yid who fulfills the mitzvah, besimcha, he's happy to do it, he does it with kavuna, he can get 1,000 times more schar than somebody else. So we don't look at the mitzvah, we look at the person. How are you doing the mitzvahs? And that's taka what we learn out. Anakoya was upset. Why am I not being asked to bring the karbunas with the chanukas hamizbeach? That's a big mitzvah, a mitzvah chamira. And he thought that hadlokasam anoyer is a mitzvah kala. Says Rabbi Mishlam, no. Hadazul be mitzvah kala bechamira she'ein ato yedei matan schon shamitzvahs. You're putting on the menorah. It might be in your eyes it's a minor mitzvah compared to inaugurating the mishkan, the avoda in the chanukas hamizbeach. Or be your daily avoda, day after day after day. That's what's important. That shows the smidus. That's the pusik which is koilel yoisa. That's the most encompassing. We know the Torah, when the Torah speaks about the Korban Tumid, the Torah refers to the Korban Tumid as lechem. Es korbani lachmi le'ishoi. The Torah refers to Korban Tumid as lechem. We don't find this by other Korbanos, it's referred to as lechem. Why? We know if we ask somebody, what would you like to eat? A piece of bread? Or something else. Some people like pizza, some people like meat, some people fish, whatever it says. Bread isn't really considered such a geschmackemachel as other types of food. But we know ourselves fully well the staple food, kiloi alechem levado yichya udom, the ikka of a person is taka the lechem. The other foods, those are luxuries, they are extras of a lechem. That's the staple food. Says the Rabbeinu Shloilem, you know what's my kaviyuchel, my lechem? My lechem is hakeves echo tase baboike, hakeves hasheni tase ben haboyim. And although in our eyes it might be minor compared to chanikis hamizbeach, sanishta zoi. And then a person comes to this madrega, that he zoi chetake shal heves oile meleah, he continues to avoid his Hashem, and that brings the reyach nichoyach la Hashem.